بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، so we've come to this kitab, the final days, that is of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, and the chapter to start in this kitab is the final khutbah, pouring water. Before we start in that kitab, we just like to read from this kitab, Sirat al-Mustafa, where the incident of Qirtas is mentioned, incident of Qirtas. It's very important for us to understand this incident also. We'll read a few lines of this incident, and what happened before the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which we have read already. So about 4 days before the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's illness intensified, he asked those who were present in the room to bring him paper, pen and ink. Paper, pen and ink, so that he may dictate some words. He couldn't write. So that he may dictate some words of advice after which the Muslims cannot go astray. So, as we've read before, this illness of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was very intense. The fever, the headache, what he had to go through before his demise. So from here we understand also that when a person does go through trials and tribulations, illness, etc., we don't take it to be a bad omen. Some bad omen. Whatever difficulty a person goes through, illness, etc., this is all tadhirun lidhunub. Is to purify a person for his gunas and sins. Rabbi Ali Salatu Wasalam, this was just to raise his rank higher and higher by Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. For us, it's for the sins to be forgiven, because when a person goes to Akhirat, then as our Honorable and Beloved Shaykh Abdul Hamid Sahib explained also, in Barakat over the weekend, that the heart becomes unmindful, the heart becomes dirty, the heart becomes black, the heart becomes rusty, the heart becomes unmindful, the heart becomes dead. It's all from Hadith and Quran Sharif, conditions of the heart. What causes the heart to become black? Sins. Different asbab and different things that are mentioned in the Hadith and Quran Sharif. What makes a heart unmindful? Dunya. Makes you unmindful of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala and your goal. What makes a heart rusty? Person now doesn't make the dhikr of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. What makes the heart dead? So all these things now, the heart goes to different conditions. And what will revive the heart? Hazrat says, when the heart becomes dead, imagine dying with a dead heart. What a person, how are you going to resuscitate that person in the qabr? It's a reality, it's not going to happen. So, the person goes through illness, so this is for a person's gunas to be forgiven, because when a person goes with a black heart into the qabr, unmindful heart, a rusty heart, and together with that, we know in this world, if something becomes rusted, you know, fix it up quickly, put the Q20, do this, do that. Right, we call the experts in the field. Battery died. If the car battery died, or if the motor battery died, but the gate, what do you say? Next Ramadan will fix it up. Next Ramadan will fix it up. I will say fix it up today, if not yesterday. So that has to say, we understand that battery you got to fix up quickly. We got to fix up quickly. So when it comes to a dead heart, then we can imagine now, there will be nobody worries. Muslims, ma'amulat, Quran tilawah, dhikr of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and it's just getting worse and worse. And the person doesn't feel anything whatsoever, then we can understand how the heart has become so dead that you don't feel anything also. But the battery went dead immediately. Myself also put the what do you call a fob, the key into the ignition, now it's giving an error over there. Please change battery. I'm worried also now, I mustn't get stuck anyway. So I went to buy one battery, needed one, but it comes a pack of two. Tell her, just buy it now. I keep that extra on, you might use it one day. So that we'll buy. We'll buy a backup also. But for the heart, then nobody worries now. We'll see next Ramadan, maybe etikaf, I'll think about it. Alright, start putting application now. Tell the wife, I want to go for etikaf, sit for full 10 days, or spend on 40 days in the path of Allah, 4 months. And Hazrat mentioned also Friday night during the shkil time also. Hazrat came and told the wife, 4 months, 40 days. How can you leave us? 9 children. Where are you going to go? What are you going to do? How can you do such a thing? Go 40 days in the path of Allah. In Jamaat you're going to go. He said, chalo, leave it. I thought now maybe she'll agree to it. Then a few weeks later, then the proposal came through, contract came through. Sitting on the supper table, told the wife, you know, the contract came through. I have to go to Dubai 3 years for a job there. I'm going to earn in dirhams and dollars. He said, you better book the ticket quickly. Don't worry, it's my children. I look after them, no problem. You carry on. Sort it out. So, inna lillah. Look at this now. Here when the heart is dead, wants to go revive the heart, then they say, how are you going to leave us? It's your children, you will look after them. Who's going to look after the children? But when it's for dunya, then what she says, no, they're my children. I look after them. You carry on. But now she knows, dunya is going to get comfortable. But the akhirat, subhanallah. You see, when the house is dirty, and then it gets cleaned up. Have a busy weekend, busy week. And how the housewife wants to get the room clean, get the house clean. The sheets are changed, the pillowcases are changed. MashaAllah, put the wood burner in. Now you come back from work, from madrasa, from masjid, the evenings, everything, MashaAllah, nice and clean. All the tops in the kitchen, to MashaAllah, everything is nice, spick and span. Enter the room, smelling good also. And everything is changed. How nice you feel. Crisp sheets, MashaAllah. Then you've got candle on also, you're feeling nice. Then you must think, Ya Allah, I hope my qabr is like this too. When I go in there, alhamdulillah, everything just cleaned up. The bed is made, nice pillows are fresh also. And the aircon lies nice and cool, as it says. And next to your bed, a nice fresh glass of juice also. And a small, some cakes and biscuits and chocolates, etc. I said, hey, this is life. This is, life is in the qabr. When I go in there, and my eyes open, and I open, I see, mashallah, everything is done up over here. There's a beautiful bedroom. What a scene. What a view it is. And Hadith Sharif says, Allah Ta'ala opened the windows of Jannah and you see all the pleasures, not just from waterfall or some ocean, etc., which you can't swim, the water is all murky color and all brown color. They must see through, you can see everything happening. That will be the qabr now. Now Allah Ta'ala is showing you the big screen of your Jannah now. Just now you're going to get there, don't worry. Before you know it, you're already there. So Allah Ta'ala give us the reality. So Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam, through all his trials and tribulation, the illness also. So when illness comes, here also we read the sirat of Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam, that when it comes to good health, the ni'mat of Allah, bounty of Allah. When it comes to ill health, is the rahmat of Allah. Allah's rahmat is upon you. Du'as are accepted. Now more Allah is coming out from the heart. So this illness will bring you closer to Allah. If the illness brings you closer to Allah, in reality, this illness is not a musibat, it's a ni'mat of Allah. But it brought you closer. A good health now, which is a ni'mat of Allah, takes you towards guna and sin, then the good health to you is a musibat. It's a ni'mat of Allah. Doesn't allow you to go to the masjid. Doesn't allow you to perform salah with jama'at. Doesn't allow you to do your ma'amulat, etc. Then the good health is a musibat. Invested in the wrong place and in all futilities, futile things. It's not going to help me in the qabr whatsoever. Nothing. So much effort I'm making above the ground. But if you look at how much I deposited today in my qabr, zero. Zero. But I tired myself. So much I got tired. Was my salah or jamaat maybe also. Couldn't make it to the masjid. Quran Sharif got left behind. So what I deposited today in my qabr was actually nothing. It was a loss today. And if there was guna in it, it was a minus. I got even bigger problems now. So my whole day, وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرِ. Allah takes a qasam by time. And some of us read say, Allah takes a qasam on asr time, asr namaz. But if you miss your asr namaz, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرِ. You lost the day. You are in a khusr. Khusr means a loss. Nobody likes to be called a loser. You're a loser today. You lost. You didn't make it for asr namaz. That's one tafsir. وَالْعَصْرِ. Other one is a normal general time. By the qasam of time, your time got wasted today. In the whole day, you're just unmindful. Unmindful, maybe mindful also to a certain extent, but engage in haram things, in futile activities, just trying to make dunya. The maqsad of dunya also is to help you for my deen, to free me for deen. You see, it's how you think of Allah. If you make a plan, Ya Allah, I'll get over this quickly. Ya Allah, you pull it through quickly, you make it happen quickly. So I'm free for my deen. Allah Ta'ala make it happen. So we don't put plans before Allah. Because Allah Ta'ala has given us a blank check. أَنَا عِنْدَ ظَنِّ عَبْدِي بِي. I treat my slave as he thinks of me. I treat my slave as he thinks of me. If I made now a 10-year plan, Allah will say, I carry on 10 years. You say, Allah, you'll do it. They go on Jama'ah Sadi for years, he made intention to go 4 months, 4 months, 4 months. Allah will take me, Allah will take me, Allah will take me. The time will come, he will take me. And then finally, Jama'at was getting ready for 4 months. He packed his bags also. I'm joining this Jama'at. Nothing in the pocket. I'm joining this Jama'at. I'm going. I did my job. I made my dua. I made my intention. I had my tahajjud for so many years. And I put my application. So my work is done. فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. When you are resolute, you made an intention, firm intention, place your trust upon Allah. Now I trust Allah. Allah will do it. إِنَّ اللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَوَكِّلِينَ. Allah declares, I love all those that trust me. So he packed his bag, I'm going with this Jama'at. Packed the bag, he got no holy passport, no visa. That time visa on arrival, India, Pakistan, IPB. India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, on arrival. No currency, no spending money, nothing. Allah, I did my job. So he went with the Jama'at to the airport, put his bag in his hand, he's standing in the queue to check in the bag. Banda got nothing. Allah has got everything. Allah will provide. So Allah will treat you as you think of him. And you will say to Allah, Ya Allah, I know you'll do it. Not, Ya Allah, I don't know whether it'll happen. Ya Allah, I know it'll happen. Allah also hear that. Like how ourselves also. You tell the wife, what do you think? I won't do it. Sorten. Sorten of the boss, you know that. It's done. But imagine now every time you do it, and she still doubts you. I don't know whether you'll do it. You think, how? I'm doing it all the time for you, sorting out for you, and she's still treating you now like, don't trust you. But I did it so many times already. That's how we're treating Allah, tabarak wa ta'ala. Allah, I don't know whether Allah will do it. I'm not sure whether Allah will do it. Allah said, I did it so many times, you don't trust me still. This banda, alhamdulillah, it is yaqeen dawakul, standing in the line, a friend of his was returning from overseas, businessman, returning from overseas, so he was passing through and he's checking in. So he saw him, he salam with him. Why were you going? He said, okay, 4 months Jama'at. Hey, you are a wali of Allah. Allah has trained me. Wali dunya, dunya. Call him one side, please do me a favor. You'll be doing me a favor. Put his hand in his pocket, got an envelope. Say, I just stuck a good deal overseas. Alright, because some returns came. Take the envelope, please, man. You know, I can't make it 4 months, you take it. Hadiah for you. Hadiah for you. When you open the envelope, it was enough for the entire trip and for his kharcha and his expenditure back home. Allah Ta'ala gave him at that moment. So how we think of Allah? Anyway, continuing with this. So here Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam asked those who were present in the room to bring him paper, pen and ink so that he may dictate some words of advice, after which the Muslims cannot go astray. And hearing this, those who were present disagreed. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said to him, you are ill, O Nabi of Allah. You are experiencing much pain. It is not appropriate for us to cause you trouble in such a condition. The book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us, which is sufficient to save us from going astray. Some Sahaba radiallahu anhum agreed with Umar radiallahu anhu, while others said that the writing material should be brought, and they said, has Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ever said anything foolish or unintelligible during his illness and state of unconsciousness? Ask him, he is a messenger and the Nabi of Allah. His heart and tongue are protected from error. He is not like others who begin speaking nonsense why when they fall ill. So Sahaba ikram the opinion, they bring the paper, bring the pen. Let him dictate what he wants to say. As Umar radiallahu was close. It will be asked, you relax, don't worry about anything. You already gave us hidayat and guidance. We already know what to do. A hadith states that on one occasion Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pointed to his tongue and said, I take an oath by that being in whose control is my life, that nothing but the truth emanates from this tongue. When those who were present began arguing and differing among themselves, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked them to leave and said to them, leave me as I am. I am in a better condition than what you are calling me towards. Thereafter, despite the pain that he was suffering, he issued three words of advice to them. Number one, the disbelievers should be expelled from the Arabian Peninsula, which is called Hijaz. So expel the disbelievers from the Arabian Peninsula. No disbeliever should be permitted to live there. That was a command he gave. And by extension, as the Waqabir say, one is now expelling the disbelievers from the spark and pure zameen, a piece of earth. More than that is to expel from our hearts the lifestyle of the disbelievers. There's more important. That now we are all in uproar, they're allowing now them to come to Medina Munawara, they come to Makkah Mukarrama. We allowed them to come into our bedrooms, to our children's lives, to our wives' lives. Hazrat told us now over the weekend, how many of us sat with the architect, said, design for me a house like a Sahabi? He said, nobody. We are afraid. He said, that should be what we would love to do. But nobody even thinks about it. I want to live like one Sahabi. What does it mean? Simple. Nothing extra. Nothing extra. We all on artificial intelligence. When they say put the lights on, put the aircon on, etc. All those things, it's all artificial. Well, how many can get sleep still? They're still worried. They're still worried. Whenever delegations come to meet them, they should present gifts when bidding farewell to them, as they had been his noble practice. This is also a sunnah. When you see your guests off, then to give them hadiah also. So make this your practice. And number three, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam either did not mention the third advice or the narrator forgot it. Some of the opinion that the third advice was any of the following. They should practice in the Quran Sharif. They must send the army of Usama radiallahu anhu towards Rome that time, towards Syria, Sham. They must not turn his grave into a place of worship and prostration. But some say possibly this is the third advice, that they don't make sajda in a place of worship. They must be particular about their salah. They must see to the slaves. It is not known whether the words of advice which he gave orally were the same as those which he wanted to have written down. We're not sure. One, he wanted to dictate, so possibly that was something different, and this was something different. Or whether he had something else in his mind, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says that during this illness, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I wish to talk to Abu Bakr and his son, Abdul Rahman radiallahu anhuma. Send someone to call them so that I may give them some words of advice. Make him, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, my successor, meaning my khalifa, so that no one may be able to say anything against him. And no one may desire this leadership once he has been appointed. I have now changed my mind and decided not to give him these words of advice. I know for a fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not permit anyone else to become the khalifa after me. So no need for me to say it also. Even the believers will not accept the khalifa of anyone besides Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And the reason ulama say that because of the amount of suhbat, companionship, when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the amount of his wealth he spent upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam, he was most qualified. He gave his time, his health and his wealth to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, so he was most deserving. Another hadith has the following words, Ma'adallah, ayya khalifa an-nas ala Abi Bakr. Allah forbid that the people differ with regard to the khalifat of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Why this is important, my dear brothers? This incident of qirtas. Qirtas refers to a piece of paper. Why is it important? Because the Shias use this incident. The Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam wanted to give over the khilafah to Ali radiallahu anhu, but Umar silenced him. A'udhu billah. He silenced him. So this was injustice to Ali. So they use this incident over here. That's why when Idris al-Kandihrawi rahimahullah is highlighting the section over here, that even other riwayat is mentioned, the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said with confidence that the Khalifa after me will be Abu Bakr. So that now we all agree upon it. The Shias, they differ. It becomes quite clear from these ahadith that it was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's heartfelt desire that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu should be the Khalif after him. However, he left it in the hands of faith, destiny and the unanimous decision of the Ummah to implement it. Faith and destiny would decide that Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu would be the Khalifa and his Khilafat will be established by the unanimous decision of the senior companion and Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All the Muslims will accept his Khilafat. The words of Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi also indicate that these words show that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to write down the Khilafat of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and not the Khilafat of Ali radiallahu anhu, as the Shias, they claim, right, where they believe now in, they say the five Ahl al-Bayt. Here we got to be careful. Sometimes we travel overseas, we find these pendants, and you find these different charms they have, and different frames they have. You'll find like a hen, like this, with the eye in the center. Like how you put your palm, stick your palm out with your fingers closed, and they got it like this. And you see an eye in the center. And that is a sign. If you go to different areas of Pakistan also, you find on the houses on the top, they got like a steel pole with a hand on the top. Right, referring to the five Ahl al-Bayt. But the Ali, Fatima, Hassan, Hussein, and one more they have there. Slip my mind now. The five of them, huh? So they have five of them. They make Ahl al-Bayt. So, because Shia believe, na'uzu billah, they believe, na'uzu billah, Allah Ta'ala protect us. The Shaykhain, we call them Shaykhain radiallahu anhuma, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhuma, who are buried next to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they believe that these two Sahaba radiallahu anhuma and Aisha radiallahu anha, the three of them turned mushrik, na'uzu billah. And their belief is that the 12th Imam, they have the 12 Imams, the 12th Imam, they say he disappeared into the cave with the 10 paras of Quran Sharif. The Quran is incomplete. And he will return. And he will return with the last 10 paras of Quran Sharif. And he will go to the Roda, na'uzu billah, and he will exhume the bodies of Shaykhain and his Aisha, and he will hang them on the tree and he will flog them. Na'uzu billah. This is their belief, the Shia belief. This is why Maulidi Sahib is making this quite clear, that this is unanimously agreed by the Ummah, that the first one entitled to Khilafat was Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. When this incident of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam asking for writing material to dictate took place, and the people began deferring, the Sahaba began deferring, whether should bring a page and a pen. And Hazrat Umar said, no, leave it as it. O Nabi of Allah, we have Kitabullah. You just relax, so to say now, we know what to do. So, when this incident of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam asking for writing material took place, and the people began deferring and arguing with each other, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked them to leave because it was not appropriate to argue in his presence. The people then left. When the people left, the Sahaba ikram left, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam rested till the time of Zuhur Salah. This is 4 days before his demise. So he rested till the time of Zuhur Salah. When he felt a bit better, and the intensity of his illness decreased, he asked for 7 containers of water to be poured on his head and said, perhaps I will experience more comfort and I may give some advice to the people. Accordingly, this water was poured upon him and he felt much more comfortable. He then took support from Abbas and Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, his uncle Abbas and his first cousin, Sir Ali radiallahu anhu. On either side of him, he went to the masjid. In that condition also, he went for Salah. He performed the Zuhur Salah and then delivered a khutbah, a sermon. This was his final sermon. So here in this kitab, just to come back which you were reading from. Here also they have the final khutbah and pouring water. We'll just read it from Sirat al-Mustafa for now, then we'll revert to this kitab. After completing the Zuhur Salah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on to the minbar. And after praising, glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like how you give the khutbah, Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nasta'afiruhu, this is all praises upon Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. He spoke about the matters of Uhud. Always remember them. He would always make dua for them. He asked for forgiveness for them. May the istighfar, may Allah forgive the shuhada of Uhud. He then addressed the Muhajireen, saying, Muhajireen, those who gave the Qurbani, left Makkah Mukarrama, and they answered the call of Hijrat, and they came to Medina Munawwara, and he said to them, you will be in the majority, you will be in the majority, while the Ansar will be in the minority. Look, the Ansar gave me refuge. They took me in. You must be kind to those who are good and righteous amongst them, and you must overlook those who err amongst them. He then said, O people, Allah has given to you a servant of his to choose between enjoying the bounties of this world or those of the hereafter, that I would Allah. That servant has chosen to enjoy the bounties that I would Allah in the hereafter. Talking about the Mubarak self. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, who was the most knowledgeable among the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, immediately understood that the servant referred to was none other than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he's already made the choice. This was 4 days before his demise. He therefore began crying and said, Ya Rasulullah, may my parents be sacrificed for you. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, wait and remain firm. He then turned towards the masjid and asked the people to shut all the doors of the masjid, and that only one door, that of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, be left open. And all his doors must be closed now. In the Qibla wall also, when you go towards the Roda of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, you're going to make salat and salam. Just opposite the Roda, you'll find there's a opening in that wall there. You find all the calligraphy, the beautiful names of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam written there in calligraphy. You'll find a window there that's open. There's a window to the house of Umar radiallahu anhu. But the door is closed. Just the window was left open. And the door of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and the door is still there. Usually when you come into the masjid, the Qadim, the old masjid, you enter from there, Babu Abi Bakrin, the door of Abu Bakr. So obviously the door wasn't where it is there, it was. Masjid was much smaller at that time. So that door should be left open. He then said, as regards his life, meaning Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, as regards to his life, wealth, companionship and friendship, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is the one who is kindest to me. There isn't anyone who was kinder to me than him. I repaid all those who did favors to me, except for Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. The reward for his favors will be given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala personally on the day of Qiyamah. Only Allah can reward him for what he has done for me. And he always cried, O Nabi of Allah, Suhba. Ya Rasulullah, Suhba, Nabi of Allah, I want to be with you. Whether it was Hijrat also, in the cave for 3 days, during the Hijrat, then at Quba, every time he was, there was Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Were I to make someone apart from Allah, my bosom friend, I would have chosen Abu Bakr. But Allah is my bosom friend. Otherwise, it should be Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. However, he enjoys Islamic brotherhood and friendship. He surpasses everyone in this regard. There is no one equal to him in this brotherhood and friendship between to me. He is the closest to me. In short, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam enumerated those merits of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu which were not shared by anyone else. He did this so that these virtues and merits of his may be well known to the people, and there may be no difference with regard to his succession after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you'll understand who to appoint as the Khalifa. In order to emphasize this, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam appointed him to the leadership of Imamat during his lifetime. Put him on his own musalla. Or the greatest of acts of worship, namely Salah. It was for this reason that at the time of giving Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu the pledge of allegiance, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum said of the demise of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, so they were taking bayat upon his hands that he is the Khalifa. So the Sahaba radiallahu anhum said, if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam chose him for our deen, that is leadership in Salah, why should we not choose him for our worldly affairs, that is the Khilafat and leadership? If he was Imam during the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's lifetime, then definitely after his demise also he will be our leader. From here also, ulama explained to us that this should be the tamanna and the desire of every parent, that my son must become an Imam. Not just an alim. They say that in Imamat Allah Ta'ala has kept great izzat and honor in two things, in da'wat and imamat. وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. Hazrat says Allah Ta'ala make our children the imams of the muttaqeen, the pious ones. And the stepping stone to that, Allah put them on the musalla of imamat. This should be our dua. That Allah Ta'ala make them the imams of taqwa, imams of muttaqeen, imams of the musalla. Because this was such a sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, from the first day of Nubuwwat till almost the last day, he never left the musalla. So this should be our dua. That Allah Ta'ala make our children the imams of salah. So alhamdulillah, they become musallis also automatically. They lead the people in salah. And also Hadith Sharif says that Allah Ta'ala is most pleased with that imam with whom the congregation is happy. Allah Ta'ala making such an imam, the congregation too is happy with him. Allah Ta'ala also becomes happy with such a person, a just ruler and an imam with whom the people are happy with. Not for the wrong reasons. And I'm putting the wrong people to give bayan, for the right reasons. They are happy with him. In this sermon, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also asked that the army of Usama, this is 4 days before the demise, figure of deen is still there, that the army of, it's called Jeshu Usama, that the army of Usama radiallahu anhu be dispatched quickly. He also said, I know that some people referring to the hypocrites object to the leadership of Osama with this army in the sense that why should a youngster, only 17 years old, be given leadership when there are so many other senior Sahaba radiyallahu present? Listen, even before this, there were people who objected to his father's, that is, Zayd was his father radiyallahu anhu's leadership. By Allah, his father was qualified for that post, and so is his son. Osama qualified for this post. Furthermore, he is extremely beloved to me. Declared his love for Osama radiyallahu anhu, 17-year-old youngster. But we can imagine now the level of his maturity to be the commander of the army. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said, Allah's curse befell the Jews and Christians who turned the graves of their messengers into places of prostration. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to warn the Ummah against turning his grave into a place of prostration. That is why when we go to the Rawdah also, when we make dua, permissible to face the Rawdah, but now they don't allow you. But if you do get a chance, you can make dua, but we do make dua to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Nabi of Allah to make dua on our behalf. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he cannot give us anything. So only Allah is the sole distributor. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he dispatches. So we ask Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam to ask Allah on our behalf. Ask Allah, وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ إِظَّلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ جَاءُوكَ فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا اللَّهُ وَاسْتَغْفَرَ لَهُمُ الرَّسُولُ. Quran Sharif says, this ayat to you read when you're going through Babu Salam. وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ, and if they, the people, come to you, O Nabi of Allah, جَاءُوكَ, after they have oppressed themselves by sinning, and فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا اللَّهُ, and they ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness, وَاسْتَغْفَرَ لَهُمُ الرَّسُولُ, and the Rasul of Allah, that is you, also make istighfar for them, لَوَجَدُوا اللَّهَ, they will find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be very forgiving. So that's how we ask, O Nabi of Allah, ask Allah to forgive our sins. Allah has given the command. If they ask you and you request on their behalf, Allah will forgive them. And as our Shaykh says also, that we go to the Rawdah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and we say to Nabi of Allah, I've come to appoint you as my advocate to fight my case in the court of Allah. Because you haven't and you will never lose any case. You will never lose any case. So fight my case in the court of Allah to get my forgiveness done by Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala changes my heart completely. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O people, the news has reached me that you have become fearful of the demise of your Nabi. Has any Nabi before me remained forever with these people? They should now remain forever with you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا جَعَلْنَا لِبَشَرٍ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ الْخُلْدِ. We did not allow any human before you to remain till eternity. Nobody lived forever. وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلُ. Muhammad is but a messenger. Messengers before him also passed away. Listen, I have to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you also have to meet Allah. I advise all the Muslims to treat the early muhajireen with kindness. They made the highest level of qurbani. And advise the early muhajireen to remain steadfast in the fear of Allah and good deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر. Same surah was quoted in the final khutbah. إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. By the token of time, man is certainly in loss. Allah says, not only the Muslim, entire humanity is at a loss. Then Allah Ta'ala gives hope. You want to save yourself from loss completely? Then accept those who have iman. As it explained to us, the entire tafsir of this over the weekend also. والعصر. To believe in the seven things, amantu billahi malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rusulihi. The whole Sayyidina Shabguzari bayan is about imaniyat. To believe in Allah, the malaika, the messengers, the kitab of Allah. So have complete iman in every aspect of deen. And they did good deeds. They have done good deeds. This also, just a point comes to mind also. Allah Ta'ala knows best, but these points have come to mind. After we had the old Lucas Jor, one of our ulama gave a very detailed bayan. When it comes to the help of Allah, tabarak wa ta'ala, how do we draw the help of Allah? How do we draw the help of Allah? There's only and only one way. There's only one way to draw the help of Allah. Nasru min Allah, fathun qareeb. Where we say that the help of Allah, a victory is close. When that will happen, the same ayat has it quoted on Friday night. هَلَّ دُلُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ تِجَارَةٍ تُنْجِيكُمْ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. Shall I show you such a business that will save you from a painful punishment, whether in dunya, whether in akhirat? This tijarat and this business will save you. Who is saying? Allah is saying. There's no doubt in it. تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. First thing, let's say being complete iman in Allah. Why can iman? Iman like sahaba. آمِنُوا كَمَا آمَنَ النَّاسِ. Allah Ta'ala commands, believe in Allah like how the Nas Mufassirin explained before to sahaba. How they believe in Allah? So to believe in Allah, تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ and the messengers of Allah Subhanahu, no doubt in the teachings, complete success is only in their way, in their teachings. Then وَجَاهِدُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Then to strive in the path of Allah. Then to strive in the path of Allah with your wealth and your health, your life. Allah says that is best for you. Only you know. If you do this, believe in Allah, the messengers, and you sacrifice in the path of Allah. Sacrifice in the path of Allah. Remember, وَجَاهِدُوا, if this is a Madani ayat, this one point also to clarify. If this word jihad, etc. comes in the Madani ayat, then it refers to proper jihad. Comes in a Makki ayat, like if it comes in tempara, قُلْ إِنْ كَانَ أَبَاكُمْ وَأَبْنَاكُمْ وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ, there's eight things. Your business, your family, your wives, your children, وَمَسَاكِنَا, and your beautiful homes are more beloved to you. مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَجِهَادٍ فِي سَبِيلِهِ. And jihad, Makki ayat. This jihad refers to striving, not necessarily to the jihad in the battlefield. This is Makki ayat. This is jihad against yourself. Alright? It doesn't refer to fighting. Then that ayat refers to that type of jihad. Madani ayat refers to the battlefield. So coming back, what are you talking about? So the person who does this, believe in Allah and the Rasul and strive in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the best thing only you know. That's the best, Allah says, best tijarat you can do in your life. It'll pull you through your dunya also. Allah says you do this type of jihad, mujahada against your nafs. If it comes against the kuffar, that also you present yourself for the sake of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. If you don't make this type of jihad, then Hazrat says that if you do the work of Allah, Allah will do your work. If you don't do the work of Allah, Allah says now you must scrub floors. Go look after your dunya now. That has again the beautiful example in Dioban, that when they go to they call the hotel, restaurant. It's simple shops, got a few chairs and tables there. You buy some chai pani, etc. And people have the breakfast there and they move some, or have simple meals, etc. So the students of Dioban is to go there and they don't have enough money to pay. Then the payment was, you go in the back and you scrub the pots. Alright, if the pots are washed, then you must scrub the floors. Hazrat said this was the payment for eating. Hazrat said in the same way, we don't pay Allah tabarak wa ta'ala for his ni'mat and bounties, how we should be paying. In the correct manner, Allah Ta'ala will say, go scrub dunya down. Go scrub dunya. Go scrub the floors of dunya. To earn a little bit of money and then to carry on chasing. But if you do my work, I'll pay on your behalf. I will pay you to work for me. Otherwise, you have to go scrub floors of dunya and look after your dunya. So to understand now, يَخْفِلْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. Person who does iman in Allah, Rasul, serve in the path of Allah, Allah says, gunaza maafi, يَخْفِلْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. Allah will enter into Jannah. And then bounty, Allah will give you a nasrum min Allah, help of Allah, fathun qareeb, a very close victory. And all this, you love these things. So during the Ulukh Jor, it was explained in detail. Allah Ta'ala's help is linked and fixed to, by the will of Allah, to iman, amal saliha. Period. There's nothing else. Has to be iman in Allah. All the seven things, teachings of Anbiya, Nabi Ali Salatu Salam, internally, externally, how our life should be, everything, completely. Success only in deen. No degree, no shop, nothing. That is only one container Allah Pak has put there. One container for Allah Ta'ala to put the rozi. The degree is just one container, one vessel. A means for you to get your rosy, but Allah's Qudrat and power sustain is not linked to any asbab and means of dunya. Not linked to it. You can't say, I'll have a shop so I'll make money. Does it happen? I'll have a degree so I'll make. Does it happen? So Allah's Qudrat of sustain is not linked to any dunya asbab. Yes, it's linked to the asbab of deen. Allah promised you. It is salah, I'll sustain you. Yes, sadqah, I'll multiply it. Go for Hajj and Umrah, you never taste poverty. These are wahi prescriptions. Dunya, there is no promise. For dunya, there is no promise that Allah will give you through dunya. No promise whatsoever. So really the kindness of Allah. When you performed your salah, Allah will put it, place it there. If you gave your sadqah, Allah will multiply it for you. It's all linked to your salah and your obedience to Allah. So he explained very clearly, Allah's help, victory, which the Muslims love and want, is only linked to iman and to a'mal salihah, good deeds, period, and nothing else. If we understand this, my dear brothers, then whatever is happening in the world right now, that we all are crying for the help of Allah, it should not be just wishful thinking, it's going to come. There's no iman and a'mal salihah that we can understand whether the help of Allah is going to come or not. Whether certain people in certain part of the world, or ourselves also, Allah's help will only come with iman, a'mal salihah. If that is not there, then the help of Allah will not come. Yes, a little bit here, Allah will display here and there. People's du'as are there, caring. And the outcome, understand the point now, the outcome of Allah's nasr min Allah, the outcome, the end result of when Allah Ta'ala's help will come and victory will come, what will be the outcome? Not that a state will be established, Allah's deen will be established. This you must understand. Allah's help will come to establish the deen of Allah. Not to establish now a state or a country or a territory. Because the territory belongs to Allah. وَالْأَرْضُ لِلَّهِ أَرْضُ اللَّهِ وَاسِعَةٌ Zameen already belongs to Allah. So Allah Ta'ala will give you الَّذِينَ إِمَّكَّنَّهُ فِي الْأَرْضِ الَّذِينَ إِمَّكَّنَّهُ فِي الْأَرْضِ Allah Ta'ala says, and those people who Allah Ta'ala gives power over the earth. This too, subhanAllah, we learn from Hazrat also. What they do, أَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةِ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةِ وَأَمَرُوا بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَنَهُوا عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ Those that Allah Ta'ala gives power over the earth, first they aqamu salah. Salah is number one. Then they discharge the zakah. They command the good, they forbid the evil. وَلِلَّهِ عَاقِبَةُ الْأُمُورِ All affairs, the outcome is in the hands of Allah. So the outcome of Allah Ta'ala's divine help is what? Deen of Allah will be established. For example, you see, in Afghanistan. 20 years they went through the war. Allah Ta'ala's help came finally 12 days. It was a walkover. The West can't, how it happened? Mind-boggling. What is the outcome of Allah Ta'ala's help? Deen got established. Now if we saw the news items going around, that they already passed the verdict, that now, what they say, animate objects and photography viewing now is banned in Afghanistan. They banned it. When it comes to barber shops also, said, close down the barber shops, you need license to open up, on condition, no two-length haircut, no trimming beards, no, Sharia compliant. So the outcome of Allah Ta'ala's help wasn't just getting your country. It was that the deen of Allah has to be established. So this is the same thing now, that إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ By the token of time, man is certainly in loss, except those who have iman and did good deeds, and they advise each other in matters of truth. Watawa means, watawa so, and they advise each other in matters of truth. Watawa so bilhaq, watawa so bilsabr, and they advise each other to exercise patience. O Muslims, I advise you to treat the Ansar well and with kindness. They are the ones who gave refuge to Islam and Iman. They made you partners in their homes, lands, orchards and fruits. They gave preference to you over themselves despite being in need and in poverty. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَةً That the Ansar were those people who give preference over themselves even though they themselves may be in dire circumstances. In the Sahabi, took the guest of Nabi of Allah home for the night, took him for meals, came to the house, asked the wife, anything available, only food enough for the children. Prepare it, let the water boil on the stove, let the children think now and believe that you're preparing food for them, and slowly lull them to sleep. Made them sleep hungry. Now I'll call the guest in to eat. Once he sits down, they put the lamp off. And we'll just make noises with our mouth as if we're eating also. Let him eat to his full. And like this, they sacrifice, nobody eat in the house, the guests eat. So they were in dire need, but they gave preference to others. Listen, I am leaving before you, you will also meet me. Our meeting will be the Hawza Kawthar. Ameen Allah Ta'ala. Give us that also. We meet Nabi of Allah, Hawza Kawthar. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they got off the member and went to his room. Allah Ta'ala give us the reality and give us Sufi to study the seerah to implement it in our lives, inshallah.